M18, Symbol and Reality, Evolving Through the 1,000-Year Periods in the Bible. Number 1A.
As a surprise, I think, I'm here, but I'm not here to give a class next week, so, but I disappear tomorrow morning early, so this is the last time we see each other, and, the teachers of this summer school have asked me if I would come over just to give a little address to the first week's classes, and now at the beginning of the second week a little address to tell you what's going on in my mind, what I'm thinking, and how I look at the whole idea at this moment. So, what I have been saying last week is recorded, and you will have an opportunity to listen to it perhaps next week in an evening or so. And what I'm saying today is more or less a continuation of that talk, so that you get the second part first. But it doesn't matter, the subject, what I want to tell you, is more or less self-contained, and so I can easily talk on this subject. Those who have known John Dawley personally perhaps remember that usually when he had finished a class or an association or a talk or so, he used to say something which still rings in our ear, and so on we go and ever on and on. Well, I put this at the beginning of this talk, not at the end of this talk, and I want to talk about so on we go and ever on, and what that implies. This more or less has to do with perhaps the subject that has been suggested to me from the teacher that I may take up. They said, could I perhaps talk about the consciousness of the Christian scientists of today, and perhaps I add, and of tomorrow, so that the main point that I'm going to talk about tonight is about that consciousness of the Christian scientist today, the form of that consciousness compared with earlier forms of consciousness, and perhaps where that will lead us to. And I think in order to explain this, I fall back on something that John Dawley has taught once and is recorded in his verbatim reports, something that has hardly been noticed by the students. I never heard since he gave that talk over 30 years ago that anybody was talking about it. And I have indicated it shortly in the level book, but I don't know if anybody has taken any notice about it either. Anyway, never has anybody talked about it since then. And so I think I want to take that up and make it really a big issue, really a terrific big issue. I would say an issue that perhaps for us is an issue of life and death, not just an academic issue, not just some nice angle on the whole subject, but really something that is so deep in its meaning that we can't afford to neglect it. And this is the question when he was talking about reality and about symbolizing reality. The relationship between reality and the symbolization of reality. Those who have perhaps listened to the last year's summer school on Genesis, they remember that in the last 10 or 15 minutes of that summer school, I have already indicated this subject in a very short way, but now I want to take it up and elaborate more on this subject. What is the subject? The subject is reality and the symbolization of it. What does it mean? It means really that we all really are studying Christian Science because we know that there is a reality which is far above what is called the material, so-called reality, the material world with all the mortals and with all our problems. We somehow know in Christian Science that reality is spiritual, that reality is the ultimate, that it is perfection, and our whole endeavor, therefore, is to reach that point where we touch in consciousness reality. That's our great aim, that we touch with consciousness reality. Now, how can we touch in consciousness reality? And there we see that because reality is spiritual, it cannot be taught just as such. Because if a spirit would just teach spirit, the human mind would not understand it, could not grasp it. Therefore, spiritual teaching, Mrs. Eddy says, must always be through symbols. And she says that in the last chapter of the textbook. And I want to make a point out of it because we are going to consider a little bit the last chapter then. So it is in that chapter that she says, you see, you have to have a symbolization and reality must be taught through symbols. Now the question is, how far can symbols be a help for us in order to formulate our consciousness, to mold our consciousness, to form our consciousness so that it approaches very near to reality, so that it comes very close to that what reality is. It will never be, as long as we have symbols, reality itself, there will still be symbols, but those symbols can be rarefied. We don't need to teach this beautiful realm of spirit through very crude symbols, but what we have seen is that the symbols, as we rise, the symbols begin to disappear, but in rising, actually first we have to see that these symbols become more and more rarefied, they become more and more abstract, they become more and more scientific, and they become more and more like reality itself. So that we must be aware in what kind of symbols we are teaching. Are we teaching in symbols that are way past, in crude old symbols of thousands and thousands of years ago? Or are we going to rarefy those symbols so that through the rarefication of the symbols, really the symbols approximate more and more reality itself? And in this way, consciousness rises and is exalted and purified and rarefied until it approximates reality more and more. Now, this is the fundamental problem. And John Dolly, in that passage, which I quote now, I don't quote it textually, but only in the meaning, shows the following. He goes out from the thousand-year periods, which we all know, I don't have to explain them, that there are a thousand-year periods in the Bible, starting with 4000 BC, and we are at the end of the 6000 year period, and at the turning point where it turns to the 7000 year period. So going out from those 1000 year periods, where each 1000 year period symbolizes or stresses especially one of the seven synonymous terms, he went on to show, and this is now the point, that each thousand-year period used different kinds of symbols. I would say different levels of symbols, different levels of rarification of symbols to symbolize each thousand-year period. And I'll just run quickly through those seven. And by doing so, we will first have an overall view, and then for quite a while we will look back on that development. He was teaching that in the first thousand-year period, the Bible used the symbols of old myths, creation myths. They took those very crude creation myths that were available in every culture all over the world, and took those creation myths and tried to put them into some kind of a purified way to symbolize really the days of creation or the point of view of mind of creation. So the symbol that stands out there were the creation myths. We can see also in our lives that usually the first question that a Christian scientist or any searcher of the truth is asking, where do we come from? What is our origin? What is our creator? Who has created the universe? It seems that this is really the original question, and it shows that within us, really, we will go through the same thousand-year period within our lives, within our research for reality, and use the symbols of those thousand-year periods. So usually the great question that is dominant at the beginning with the student is always, where does it come from? The law of causality, who is the creator, what is creative, who has created man, who has created the universe, who has created disease, where does disease come from? It's always coming from, and it's always a tone of mind, and in the first thousand period, really, we had this myth and mythology used as symbols to illustrate mind. When we come to the second thousand-year period, John Dolly showed that the second thousand-year period were not using myths, but that they were using, for instance, sagas, or usually sagas, like the flood story, like the Noah story, like the story of the Tower of Babel. These were sagas that were known all over the world. In every culture you had the flood stories. That's not unique to the Bible. But the biblical writer did take those sagas and began to use them as symbolizing the second thousand-year period of spirit, of the separation of spirit. And it is interesting that they used the symbols of sagas. Well, sagas are not true. They are not true. They may have an inkling that something like that far away has happened. It may have been that there has been a flood of some kind, that perhaps at the time, I don't know, that Atlantis went down, that there were floods all over the world, or that the big meteorite was coming down into the ocean, and that also gave a kind of a flood, and so it covered all over the world, the water covered the land all over the world. So everywhere they made a saga out of it. There is a little bit of truth behind it, but it's not, the story is not true. Yeah, that's what we do, huh? Our daily life is full of these sagas. I have heard this and heard that, and have you heard this and have you heard that? All those stories that go around, there may be a little bit true about it, but mostly the whole thing is not true. Huh? And we occupy our consciousness with that. And if you watch it, you can see that quite a big part of our daily life is actually occupied by that kind of symbolism. Hear all sorts of stories about people, about nations, about governments, about this and about that. And there is perhaps, we say, well, where there is smoke, there has been a fire. Huh? But the fire may have been very small and the smoke very big. Huh? So we form our consciousness really according to a lot of sagas and legends and things like that, which are not true. Therefore, we can see how that doesn't help us to form and mold a consciousness that is near to reality, that can wake up and well up within our consciousness, reality itself. Chodoli went on to show the 3,000-year period. I'll just go very quickly over those periods. The 3,000-year period. And with the 3,000-year period, starting with Abraham, with the patriarch of the Israelitic people, and then with all those patriarchs, with Isaac and Jacob and whatever their name were, we have what Mrs. Eddy calls half-hidden Jewish history. You can see that in that period, people were not interested anymore in the symbolization of the 1,000-year period with myths. They were not telling myths. They were telling history, but half-hidden history. Half true, half not true, but there was something about it. They were telling the history of their people. Israel was only interested in Israel. That's the only family they knew, that's the only patriarch that they would accept. Nothing else really mattered for them but their family, but their tribe. Nothing else really mattered for them. Everything outside of their tribe was anyway error, was anyway foreign, was anyway not good. Huh? Yeah. It's about the way we think today. The way we think today in Christian Science is quite a lot about that. We talk first about ourselves and then about our tribe, about our husband, about our wife, about our children, and then comes the aunt and then the uncle and then the nieces and the grandson and the grandchildren, and that's the end. Everything outside is no more interesting. And so when we are together as Christian Scientists, you hear all the tribal stories, the tribal history of everyone. It's quite amazing. You know what I have to go through? I come somehow to a faraway country, you know, where I have hardly ever seen the students, and they tell me their tribal history. And they are absolutely surprised that I don't know what the name of their dog is. They talk about their dog, about Flora, or about so. I should know if that is the dog, or the daughter, or the husband, or the wife. Huh? And they tell me about all their daughters and children as if I would know their name, and all their trouble. And that's the end of it. Well, we have to be careful about it, because isn't it so that in Christian Science, when we get into Christian Science, what we are interested in is, does our tribe get well? Does our family get well? And we are interested that all our family members are well, that their problems are being solved, and that they make a success of their life, and that they are healthy, and their family, and the family, and the family. All the rest is of no great interest. They don't care what happens in China or in Cambodia or anything like that, as long as the family is okay. That was the half-hidden tribal history of the 3,000-year period. And we occupy our thought with that. Well, if that is the highest form of consciousness, then let's culture that. But apparently it's only the 3,000-year period, and not yet the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th, and the 7th. So we have to be very careful what we are engaged in within our consciousness, so that we don't waste our energies, waste our consciousness on things that don't matter, that do not bring us nearer to reality. Then we can't say and on and ever on we go, then we only go on with the tribal history. So, that's that. But when we come to the 4,000-year period, John Dolan was showing that the symbol changed. With the 4,000-year period, there were no more myths, under discussion, no more the sagas under discussion, not even anymore very much about the tribal history. The prophets and so on, they were interested in the revelation of the true idea. That was their symbol. The symbol now was to symbolize the revelation of ideas. What is meant by that? This is something that we also experience as Christian scientists when we begin to study Christian science. Then comes the point in our lives where we feel what is very important is that the right idea is being revealed to us about everything that happens. The right idea of business, the right idea of family, the right idea of relationship, the right idea of supply, the right idea of health, the right idea, right idea, the right idea, the right idea, of. Can you see? So it's already much nearer to reality, because it is a question, can I see now behind, so to say, the outward universe? Can I see what is the idea behind an experience? And you remember very well that this was occupying consciousness within, say, the movement, the Christian Science movement, also within us, quite a bit. That to a great extent, it's still, even with the students of the science, of Christian science, still a main occupation. That we are facing the day from morning to night, facing it with our lives, facing it with the surrounding, facing it with politics, facing it with the world, and so on. And the Christian scientist then is used to say, yes, I know that what I see and hear is not reality. What then is reality? What then is the right idea behind it? And he is trying to see the right idea behind it. And he feels this is really Christian science. Feels this is what Christian science is telling us, namely that we should see the idea behind something. And we are quite surprised and shocked to see that this is only a pre-mature stage. It's only the stage of the 4,000-year period. That the prophets were looking out for the idea, working behind history, working behind Israel. They were looking out for the idea, what is the idea working there. And so check your consciousness and see if this is still the leading idea, the leading concept of what you consider to be the purpose of a Christian science consciousness, to exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, and therefore ask, what is the idea behind? with the idea behind the dog, and behind the flower, and behind the tree, and behind a situation, and behind this, and behind that, and behind. It's asking for ideas. So naturally, this is already much higher than asking for myths, or for sagas, or for tribal history, which is people history. This is already higher. But what we have to be aware is that this is not the end. You come to the 5,000-year period. At the 5,000-year period of life and of Jesus' life work and the introduction of Christianity, John Dolly showed that with Jesus Christ came a new way of symbolization, which was even higher than the 4,000-year period. He said, in the 5,000-year period, we can see that we are the idea. That the idea is us. And that was symbolized very clearly through Jesus Christ, where Jesus is the symbol and the Christ is the idea, but they are one. There's not just here somewhere a Jesus, over there a Christ, but he began to see that the symbol and the idea is one. So that Jesus could say, I am Christ. He didn't say, I am Jesus. But he could say, I am the Christ. I am the idea. So at that point we can see how the symbol and the idea got so close that they became one. And so at that point in the history of Christianity, that was a culmination point. And therefore it is that point where we can see what, that's what John Dolly then explained so much about the Bible, that he said, Noah is not just Noah is me. Abraham is not just an Abraham as a historical figure, but it's also an idea, therefore it's me. And so Jacob is me, and Joseph is me, and Moses is me, and so on. He could at that point begin to throw a new light on the Bible, on the Old Testament, and see these were not historical figures, they were not half-hidden Jewish history, but they were ideas of the 4,000-year period, and that you could make in the 5,000-year period that one with you. Can you see the development? So every 1,000-year period brought a step further without really leaving the old one right behind, but overforming the old one into a higher symbol. Therefore, at that time, Jesus could say, follow me, the works I do, do ye also. He could say, you are the symbol and the idea. You are not just the symbol, and I am the idea, I am the Christ, and you are only the symbol, but you are also, you must also see that you are the symbol and the idea as one. So we get that point, and therefore that demand of Jesus, follow me, the work I do, do ye also, and what I do, ye can do too. And now comes the shock for the Christian, that the 5,000-year period of Jesus Christ was not the end of the story. That after that time came the 6,000-year period. And the 6,000-year period was bringing another relationship between reality and symbol. And John Dolly explained that like this. He said, with the 6,000-year period, The symbol is science, and the idea is science too.